Holy God, in this precious hour, we pause and gather to hear your word. To do so, we break from our work responsibilities and from our play fantasies. We move from our fears that overwhelm and from our ambitions that are too strong. Free us in these moments from every distraction, that we may focus to listen, that we may hear, that we may change. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So about a couple months ago, I was cooking, and I do cook. My wife cook as well. I mean, cook for each other and for the family. And, you know, I was, one of the things I would cook is like beef, and I would cut the beef and then stir fry it. And I was using a knife, one of those knives that my brother got me a long time ago as like a set of knives for birthday presents, right? I love my brother, right? He got good knives, but those knives aren't like your like super expensive ones. It's like one of those like TV guide as seen on TV type, right? Like there's a dude that demos it and cuts it. So it's good, but it's been a long time and it's blunted. One of the knives that's supposed to be the chef knife, it wasn't really cutting that well. And I had to spend like extra energy to cut the beef, okay? And so I just thought to myself, it's about time to get a new knife. And so I didn't do any research. I'm not like a knife fanatic, right? But I just went to an IKEA, and it was just like a random day, you know? And I saw a chef's knife for about, what, 14 bucks or 20 bucks, right? And I got it, and I took it home, took it out, washed it, and started cutting meat with it. And, the sheer satisfaction of applying a good knife. It just comes right off the meat. And the fruits and everything, and those of you are thinking like, you're cutting, like are you using the same knife to cut raw stuff and fresh and you know, like cook stuff? And I'm like, yeah, sometimes I do that. Some of you are like, oh no. It just comes right off. And I was thinking, it's so good to have something that serves its purpose. Right? When you think about a knife, what is it for? The purpose of a knife is to cut. And when you think about this, when you think about purpose, it's like, it's kind of, how useful is it? So there is, the first layer that you think about it is the objects that you see. A knife, what do you use it for? To cut. A car, what do you use a car for? To get from point A to point B. A house, what do you use it for? To find shelter, security, right? It's simpler when we talk about the purpose of an object. Of course, it gets much more complicated. Even when we talk about cars, especially us guys, right? We think about various purposes a car can serve. But, you know, the basic, there is a simple purpose that is easier to get to, and it's useful. At an object level, the purpose of the object is very, very obvious, right? Would you agree? It's easy to think about, right? What's a chair for? Just so you can sit down. Now, I was thinking about our purpose. I was thinking about our purpose isn't really, we're not objects, right? And if you think about the second layer of it, let's get a little bit harder, right? You think about a vacation. What is a vacation for? How many of you are planning your next vacation right now? Oh man, I recently heard that people are planning vacations. There's a podcast, the name is called Three Trips Ahead. Have you heard that from the radio? I'm like crazy, like it's Three Trips Ahead. So apparently it's a thing. Let me ask you, what is the purpose of a trip? Some would say it's to relax. But I also have heard a lot of people say, I'm so tired after my trip. Like, I'm so tired after my vacation. Some would say, oh, it's to spend time with your loved ones. That's the purpose. Some would say a vacation is actually for to explore. Some actually choose like adventurous destinations, you know, that they would climb mountains and things like that. Do something really out there. So it gets a little bit more varied, the purpose. So let me ask you another question. What is your education for? What is the purpose of your education? I don't know, when I was younger, you know, my mom and dad used to tell me, you know, like, you just study hard and so that you don't become a beggar, right? Like, you don't, you're not like, you end up on the street and stuff like that. You were told like that, right? So the purpose of the education when I was told when I was young is to not so that I become a beggar, right, on the street. What is the purpose of the education? I asked a lot of young people. A lot of young people would tell me the purpose of education is to find a good job afterwards, right? Sure, that's one of it. What other purposes can you think of? Oh, it's to actually enrich you as a human being. You actually learn so much. And some of us don't think so. Some of us are like, I'm not learning in school, but that's fine. Just to show you that, you know, education is at a deeper level, it's not an object anymore. It's something more abstract, and it has almost like multiple purposes. What is your career for when you think about that? So I was just wrestling with the whole thing about building habits so that you can align your life with your purpose. And I think we have gone over this over the past couple months, and we talked about how if you're unclear about your destination, where you're headed, that you will end up drifting. You will end up in a place that you do not intend. And I understand that it's not as if things will work out exactly, but we are to serve and to continue on the purpose of what God has set out for us to be. So let's go back to what we were talking about. An education can be useful too, right? A vacation can be useful, absolutely useful. A career, work, job can be very, very useful. And let's push it down further to the next level. Let's think about, what about relationships? What is the purpose of relationships? What is the purpose of the friendships that you build? Your relationship with your coworkers, your relationship with your girlfriend, your friend, your boyfriend, your wife, your husband, your children, your grandparents. What is the purpose of that? Now, when we talk about that, I struggle to use the word useful. Is my brother useful? I dare you like to describe your friends like that, right? When you describe your friends as usefulness, all of a sudden, it doesn't make sense anymore. But of course, I mean, having a husband is useful for some handiwork, right? But you don't really describe it like that. No, it's actually much more deeper than that. Relationship is not measured by usefulness, although some people would disagree, right? We have all been treated by people that you feel like, oh, I've been used. I've been used, right? Yet, we have a purpose. We have a purpose, but it's not described using the word useful. What does Scripture have to say? If you have your Bible with you, turn to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read the first couple of verses, which we have been for the past couple of weeks. And it's also on the slides as well, but I, you know, would still encourage you to turn to your Bible, to open it, you know, get used to opening it, flipping through it. Romans, it says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy,
to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We have been looking at this scripture for the past couple of weeks, and we have been focusing on your life as a living sacrifice. Scripture teaches us the point of view of a human being's life is that it is to be offered. The way you live is to offer yourself as a sacrifice, meaning you give your life as a beautiful gift. It is a gift to God. When you read the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, the offerings that are offered to God is never second best. Never. God always says, give the first fruits. Give the young calf. Or if you can't afford it, a dove. It is a living sacrifice. Give yourself to God as a gift. This is, if you will, the direction that you're headed. But today, we're not so much focusing on living as sacrifices. But if you read on, what does it say as you live as a living sacrifice? It mentioned that this is your true worship, right? You're ascribing God's to what He's worth, right? And the first two says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but your mind being transformed. We talked about this, the word being renewed is to make new again. The word anakinos, right? Transformed by renewing your mind. Then, I want you to focus on this word, then. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You'll be able to see what God's will is. That is the whole purpose of living as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. That is the entire purpose. The purpose of a Jesus follower is to understand God's will. The purpose of a Jesus follower is to understand what God wants. Many of us have problems because when we talk about God's will in our lives, we jump right to, so what does God want me to do today? Or what does God want me, what kind of work does God want me to do? Or which university does God want me to be in? Or which person should I be dating? Or should I be marrying this person? While those are very, very legitimate questions, Scripture is concerned less with the personal choices when we talk about God's will, okay? But rather, there is a specific trajectory that Scripture often talks about. I can tell you, God's will is for you to love God with all of your heart and mind and soul and strength, right? It's very simple. I can also tell you in Matthew chapter 28 that God's will is for all of the Christians to go and to make disciples of all nations. To go and to make people who are following Jesus, to make followers of Jesus, I can tell you that. I can also tell you that God's will and His purpose for you is that you are God's craftsmanship, His handiwork. And He has prepared all kinds of good work for you to do. I can begin there. But I think if I were to begin there, we would miss out on the core purpose. In Matthew chapter 3, there's this picture of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So Jesus was around 30 years old, and He came to this person who is His cousin. His name is John the Baptist. And John was baptizing people He was baptizing people for repentance. And he was very well known. Jesus came there and he was to be baptized by John. And John said, I'm not worthy to do it. But Jesus says, for reasons of righteousness, do it anyway. And so John the Baptist baptized Jesus. As Jesus came up, what happened was the heaven opened and there was a voice that says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is the Heavenly Father speaking from heaven as the Son, Jesus Christ, rose from the water. And then, if you remember, there was a dove that descended upon Jesus. And that is the Holy Spirit. That was a picture of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one. And that, if you think about it, is the most astounding thing. Jesus, as the Son of God, being affirmed by his Father to say that, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son. I want you to think about this a little bit more. The Heavenly Father says, I love this Jesus. He's my Son. This is the beginning. It marks the beginning of Jesus' entire journey of ministry. And Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says this about people who receive Jesus. Yet to all who did receive Jesus, to him who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. So what am I talking about here? Scripture here reminds everyone that those who choose to receive Jesus and believe in his name, they are children of God. They are children of God. There are people who decide not to receive Jesus. They're not children of God per se, but those who do, they are. And when you look at Jesus' baptism, when God says, he is my beloved, through believing in Jesus, through following Jesus, God is saying the same to you. He's saying, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. In you, I am well pleased because of what Jesus is doing. And I think I should start here. We should start here. When we talk about purpose of life, it's not so much about whether you're already loving your neighbors or loving God, or whether you are fulfilling the great commission of going out and discipling people of all nations. The primary, the foundational, the most basic purpose at the ground level is that you are a child of God. You are a child of God. God loves you. God loves you no matter how you turn out. God treasure and see you as precious. There's a gentleman by the name of Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen has already passed away, the late Henry Nouwen. And he is known to be this intellectual. He's very intelligent. He taught at the University of Notre Dame. He taught at Yale. And he also taught at Harvard. And he has written many, many books on the spiritual life. And towards the late life, he actually moved and relocated to Toronto and served at the Daybreak community, which is up in Yonge and Elgin Mills, if you've ever been there. It's a tiny retreat center. And he spent his time working with mentally handicapped people. And
He has spent so many years in the university teaching that he felt a little bit foreign to when he first was serving these people who are just intellectually handicapped, right? He has been surrounding himself for all these years, smart people, successful people, people who know what they're talking about, and people who know him, right? People who know him as Professor Dr. Nguyen. People who know him as the best-selling author. People who know him as the great writer. People who know him as someone who is very close to God. He's also a Catholic priest. But what he discovered when he went to Daybreak was that these people, the mentally challenged and handicapped brothers and sisters, don't know anything about him. Nor does it mean anything to him that he has written so many books, that he has, you know, the honorary degrees and the degrees, and that he taught at the university, prestige university. It meant nothing to him. He recalls a time when he was serving one of them, and one of them just said, "Don't give him any meat. He doesn't eat meat. He's Presbyterian." I think he meant he's vegetarian, right? But he recalls that to show you the sort of things that they talk about. And what Henry Nguyen discovered is that when he had to interact with people that don't count all the sort of successes and sort of all the status symbol of the world, it doesn't mean a thing to them, how he would have to interact with these people. It's not so much, you know, I am Henry Nguyen, Professor Nguyen, right? It's not so much that anymore. It is, I am someone who is made by God. I am a child of God. And he describes it as the naked self. He describes it as the naked self. The self that it's not what it is because of all the accomplishments that you and I have done, but the naked self simply because of who and how you are created to be. You are a child of God. And he had to relearn that, to relate to one another. And when you think about how we relate to one another, come on, right? It's filled with all kinds of, you know, badge of honors and statuses that sometimes hinders our interaction with one another, sometimes hinders our purpose. And so to bring it back, what we need to do, what we need to be, is to continue to shape habits that would remind us at the most basic and foundational level that you are a child of God, loved by him. You are not loved because of the way you perform, the grades that you get, the kind of job that you have worked or is working, or the things that you will pick up later on in life. And I sometimes wonder, if I am only defined by the things I do, the accomplishments that I have, what is going to happen when I grow older? I remember my grandma, before she passed away, and she got really sick. And there was one line that she always repeated, and she kept on saying, I am useless now. I am useless. I'm of no use to anybody. And I remember thinking, no, you shouldn't be saying that. You shouldn't be saying that. There is, I guess life would take us to a point where we're discouraged, to a point where we think we have no value at all. But God says, No, you're not useless. You are precious. You're my beloved child. In you, I am well pleased. And I think the contrary is true as well. What if you have everything you want in the world, but yet you lack the security? You absolutely don't feel loved at all, but yet you have all the things that people deemed successful, but yet you don't feel loved. And you don't feel secure. And God says, no, it doesn't depend on that. Doesn't depend on that, but it depends
on you as being a child of God. So how do we develop this habit of being reminded of aligning our lives to this purpose that you are God's child? And I can tell you this, I'll be very honest with you. Me being here every single Sunday morning, I am thrilled and honored to be preaching to you, to be looking at God's word and then sharing with you what I am getting from there. But I also see that it's not enough. It is really not enough. In order for you to grow, to develop habits, you really do need community and you need to broaden it. Because there's so many distractions that I can assure you, by 11 o'clock, you might not even remember what's being said here. So because we live in a world that is very, very distracting. There are many times when I would be upstairs in my room and I'd be thinking, I need to go downstairs to get something. And by the time I got downstairs to get that something, I already forgot what I need to get. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, yeah. My mind's like thinking about so many things, as I'm also thinking about that one thing. And there was this instance when I brought up I was on Netflix. I wanted to watch a movie, right? There was a movie in my mind that I wanted to watch. And I got there and I spent 10 minutes. I was like, I ended up wanting to watch another movie. Does that sound familiar? It sounds familiar, right? And there was this time when I opened my phone and I wanted to do something. I remember to do something. I need to use my phone to do something. I unlock it. 10 minutes later, I'm checking my email or Instagram or Facebook. And I actually forgot what I needed to do. Does that sound familiar? If we talk about a life that is lived with purpose and yet our lives are filled with all these kinds of distractions, man, we are in deep trouble. I can tell you, it's not just the church who's talking about these things. If you search online, there are actually many, many people, a large movement going on that talks about the impact of technology to our lives, okay? To a point where it's just distracting. To a point where the purpose is not clear anymore. So we're all fighting against this right now, right? And I hate to say it, right? The big corporations that are designing the apps to, you know, catch eyeballs and grab likes and things like that, right? I've heard even a gentleman by the name of Cal Newport. I think he wrote a bunch of books like How to Be an A Student and stuff like that. You might have heard of him, Deep Work, right? He's also doing this kind of study. And he's saying, for some reason, the big social media companies, I won't name names, you guys know what they are, they have somehow found a way to hack and exploit the social nerve that's in our brains. That when they do certain things, it will actually give a kick in our brain that keeps us going back for more. For whether it's checking more likes or liking other people's stuff and things like that. Like, we are in this mode right now that I don't think many of us are aware of what's going on. And so when we talk about living a life with God's purpose, that you need to remember, let that you are God's child sit deep in your soul. And when we talk about that, and when we walk out this door, we're like staring down the phones, I don't think it'll work. And that is why coming Lent, okay, the Lent is a time where we begin to prepare ourselves for Easter. And for this year, Easter is in April. And there is around 7 to 8 weeks prior to the Easter and Good Friday that we call Lent. And that time, we basically prepare ourselves and focus our hearts. And this Lent, we have something really special for you. And for the past few weeks, we've been talking about life with God, right? You've seen the posters up here as well. And what is life with God about? Actually, before that, Billy, would you be able to turn to that slide where there are the path to following Jesus, okay? Life with God is related to that, okay? We found that there are a few things that if you continue to do, if you continue to invest your time and energy into it, you will be a follower of Jesus Christ increasingly. Your spiritual life will grow. Your life as a human being will grow. You will deepen your life with God. And what are they? There are four aspects of it. Know God and know yourself. This is not just the head knowledge, but includes that. Secondly, is to discover your gifts and you apply your gifts to serve. Okay, you use it. Thirdly, is you practice spiritual disciplines such as reading scripture, fasting, praying, meditating in silence, being in community, worshiping, practicing these kinds of spiritual disciplines. And fourthly, is that you are grounded and rooted in this community. These are the four things that we discovered that will help you grow in your spiritual life. And life with God actually would hit at least three of these. It would hit knowing God and knowing yourself. And life with God is also a spiritual disciplines, a series on that to help you develop that. And you would also be doing that in community as well. You wouldn't be doing that alone, okay? So let me go through what life with God we're going to do, okay? So there are basically five, it's the next slide. There are basically five aspects. And the first one is awakening. Second is beholding. Third is centering. Fourth is decluttering. Five is enfolding. And we're calling this Life with God, Five Steps to Rest in God, okay? And we will have sermon series to go with it on March 3rd, if I remember correctly. March 3rd. So it's in a couple of weeks, we're going to start. We're going to start doing this, okay? And a lot of you probably don't know that you should be registering, right? Because we want to know how many people. Because if it exceeds a certain limit, we won't be using the upper room, right? On Sunday morning, starting March 3rd, it's March 3rd going to have that as well. The first session will not just be a sermon, but around 11:15, we will meet here using the Sunday discussion time slot to actually talk about life with God. Five steps that you can rest in God and know more about God and who you are. And let me show you this, right? This is like, I'm serious. This is I didn't buy this. This is something that was written up by our beloved Pastor Tina, right? She has actually spent time doing the study, coming up with these five aspects that will help you be grounded and rested in God. So please do take the time. I look forward to spending that time with you as well. And it's not just the Sunday mornings, right? If you're a part of the community group, some of the community groups are also picking up this curriculum and doing it so that there's accountability as well. So we believe that this will help you. This will help you through it. And we invite you to be part of it. How many of you have already signed up? Show of hands? Great, okay. Not a lot, but we're hoping to see more of you taking part in this. So I really don't want to, I don't want to waste your time in thinking that a simple sermon here would, you know, solve all of your problems, because it won't, right? What you need is you need to dig deeper. What you need is you need to triangulate with your brothers and sisters. You need to talk about the subject and learn from each other, as well as learning from Pastor Tina as well, who's done an extensive study on that. So we look forward to that. And so I would just like to close off by just reminding of the purpose. Now, your purpose is that you are God's child. And I think this is the primary identity, the primary reason for us. And of course, as we gained years of wisdom, we will have other kinds of purposes as well. But I think this is the most primary that we must have it be grounded in. And so this morning, I want to invite you, if you desire to develop this habit of focusing on God, of spending time and spending your life with God, then I invite you to sign up to Life with God. And I would like to close off by reading the scripture or the prayer that I used in the opening. And just meditate with me, just quiet down with me by this poem by Walter Brueggemann. I'm hoping that you can use this time to find some space in God. I'm hoping that, sometimes we are sort of polarized in two extremes, right? Some of us are overly fearful, and that we cannot do anything, that we will not amount to anything in life, that, you know, there are so many things in our past that sort of just catches up to us. And so we're living in fear. But some of us are just driven, type A's. And we're kind of just striving for things. I know I'm both at different times. And I just want us to be grounded and centered in God using this prayer once again. Let me just read it to you. And as you read, may you hear God saying to you, "You are my beloved child. In you, I am well pleased." May you hear that. Holy God, Holy God, in this precious hour, we pause and gather to hear your word. To do so, we break from our work responsibilities and from our play fantasies. We move from our fears that overwhelm and from our ambitions that are too strong. Free us in these moments from every distraction, that we may focus to listen, that we may hear, that we may change. Father, as we continue to pray, we ask for your voice to speak to us, God, to remind us that we are loved by you. And Lord, so I pray for my brothers and sisters and all of the friends here, that this morning we will receive this love from you, and it'll become our purpose. It'll become us knowing your will, God, that you want us to know that you love us, God. And so we lift this all up and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.